welcome back to The Kate Show. This is already episode 254, and I am excited because we are going back to the basics today. If you have ever felt like marketing feels gross, like I used to think, then this episode is for you. You see, in the early years of my business, I didn't know how to communicate my brand message. I didn't even know what a brand message was anyway. I felt so overwhelmed and drained by one steady thought. How do I know if I'm doing any of this marketing correctly when I can't see the results yet? Am I just wasting my time and money? Marinating on these negative thoughts felt awful, as you might have also experienced, and I knew there had to be a simpler way to find and convert clients that I actually liked working with. Fast forward a decade. Yes, it took that long. I finally have answers. After providing countless marketing consults, marketing plans, and strategies for designers, stagers, organizers, and window treatment specialists, I was able to lay out a framework of marketing laws that can help nearly any home industry business make marketing easier. If you're ready to discover and apply these laws to your own business, we need to dive right in. Now, as a reminder, you can stream this episode of The Kate Show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have not left me a star rating or even a written review, I encourage you to do so, because let me tell you something here. Most of my reviews are 5 stars. I am so grateful for that. You all are amazing. The second most popular star rating I get on this podcast is 1 star. And that is because, pardon my French, but I piss people off. And I mean, that is kind of what I'm intentionally doing, because I want to be a little bit polarizing. I want to talk about things that make people sweat. If you've been listening to this podcast over the past few months, you've probably heard me talk about things that you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe she just said that. But I'm going to keep saying stuff like that. So if you find value in the difficult topics, if you find value in the simplicity of marketing that I'm presenting, I would love it if you would go leave me a star rating. If you don't want to write anything, that's fine, but you can leave me a star rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and maybe other places too, but those are like the 2 big ones. Now, before we get into today's topic, I would like to bring to your attention a resource that has been super helpful for quite a few people lately. And that is our foundation website. Now, if you are in the market for a new website or your very first website, and you do not want to go the custom route because it's going to take too long or cost too much money for where you're at right now, the foundation website is the perfect solution, because it is semi-custom. So you still get some customization and you get help with the SEO and the copywriting. And I know those two things are really stressful for a lot of business owners. So if you want a beautiful website with good SEO and you want a professional to set up your website for you, optimize your images, help you with copywriting, and you want to maintain full control over your website moving forward without having to pay someone else every time you want to make an update, then our foundation website service is for you. The big difference between the custom website design that we offer and semi-custom design is that we use the same tried and true layout for every semi-custom design, but we tailor it to you, putting in your brand colors and your brand fonts, your images. If you don't have a lot of images, then we provide you with stock photo options that can be used anywhere except the portfolio page. We have thought of everything. And because we've designed well over 100 websites for home industry professionals, we know what works and doesn't work and what things you do actually need and don't need on a website. And the foundation website has everything you need and nothing you don't. But it also makes it easy for you to grow in the future, which means that if later on you need to add a shop page or your side door collections or your MyDoma service packages, or you want to start a blog or you need a lead magnet landing page, you have all those capabilities built directly into your foundation website. And if you need our help in the future, you can hire us at an hourly rate. You're not going to be left alone. But like I said, you're also not going to be stuck paying for a retainer that you don't necessarily need every single month. All right, guys, if you're interested in getting a semi-custom website, go to katethesocialite.com and look under the services menu today. This episode is also brought to you by Sidedoor. And you guys know Sidedoor is one of my favorites. I'd be using that platform if I were an interior designer, because it would let me scale my business without having to hire more people. But, you know, a lot of people will think that using something like Sidedoor, where they're selling trade-only products, is like affiliate marketing. And it's really not quite. Affiliate marketing might give you 5% if you're lucky every time you make a sale. Sidedoor gives you about 30% every time you sell, which is amazing. However, it's not passive. You have to have a sales funnel set up if you're going to sell with Sidedoor. You have to use different marketing content pieces to support it. You need to be blogging about your Sidedoor collections or working your Sidedoor collections or pieces from collections into your blog posts. You need to send email newsletters about it or work them into your existing email newsletters. Like, there has to be deliberate, intentional marketing efforts put around Sidedoor. And that's why I'm so happy to support them. And I'm so glad they are supporting this podcast, because it is a viable tool for growing and scaling your business if you treat it as such, as a tool, not a golden ticket to passive income success, because the founders of Sidedoor will tell you straight up that is not what this tool is for. But for those people who treat it as a tool and they learn how to use it, this can become a great way for your business to grow without you having to spend more hours or hire more people just to make a buck. If you are interested in starting with Sidedoor, go to onsidedoor.com to get started today. And if you need help marketing your Sidedoor collections, that is a big part of what we do here at the Socialite Agency. Last but certainly not least, this episode is brought to you by HoneyBook. I love HoneyBook. I use it. I used to use Dubsado. Dubsado's fine, but HoneyBook is just so professional. It's so pretty, and it just makes sense. So if you run a relatively small business, maybe it's just you, maybe you have a handful of team members like I do, you need to check out HoneyBook. Consider using it. You can use the code Socialite to get 50% off your first year if you go to honeybook.com. And I like to use it for automated workflows. So if someone purchases a semi-custom website from us, they're immediately put into a workflow that gives them the proposal, the contract to sign, the payment to take care of, all in one fell swoop. Then it sends them reminder emails of, here are the different things we need from you so we can turn around your website in 10 business days. And we also use it for the other custom services we offer, like Pinterest management. We send people reminders automatically every month. Here's what we're doing on your Pinterest account this month. Here's what you can expect. If you have questions or you need to book a consult, here's how you do that. And it helps us maintain a good level of communication with our clients. And that's a big reason why I highly recommend it, because I would not remember to manually send these emails. You can see where my brain is today. Well, all these emails at the right times. So that's why I just plug them into HoneyBook. HoneyBook sends them at the right timestamps or when the right actions are taken. So if someone opens an email or signs a contract or what have you, then a certain email gets sent to them. And it's actually really easy to set up. So I do highly recommend them. Go to honeybook.com and use the code Socialite to receive 50% off your first year. And as a shameless plug, today I'm actually a moderator for HoneyBook. They're doing some internal training for other HoneyBook educators, and I get to talk to them about marketing. So I am super excited about that. I love when I have the occasional opportunity to step outside the home industry to talk about marketing. It feels weird. It feels very weird because I am so used to talking directly to designers and stagers and such. And you guys are still like that's my heart. You guys have my heart. I would never want to work in any other industry. That being said, I'm still very honored to have been invited to moderate by HoneyBook. Now, guys, let's get into it. The four laws of marketing that you need to start following today. I get it. You're already swamped with work and feeling overwhelmed by your marketing. You want quick answers about what to do and what not to do so you can stop floundering. While this episode won't solve all your problems, it will be step one. So let's start with law number one, which is, it's your job to stay top of mind with leads. If it feels like nobody knows about your business, you have the power to change that. The best way to remind leads and past clients that you exist happens to also be the best way to announce your business launch, your new project reveal, your new service offerings. Cue the music. Yep, I'm talking about none other than the humble, powerful, vastly underused mass email. Do you have a list of contacts that you can email all at once? You should. If you don't, just open a spreadsheet or a Google Sheet and add the names and email addresses of your past clients, your leads that didn't work with you yet for whatever reason, your colleagues, your subcontractors, your friends, and your family. And by the way, if you use a customer management system or billing software or project management app, you can easily export contacts directly from there instead of manually creating a spreadsheet from scratch. That's always helpful. Now, here's a word of warning. Do not add people to your mailing list who don't know you, and don't buy mailing lists. Don't scrape the internet or random people's business cards for their email addresses unless someone handed you their card with the intention of you following up with them. Like, that's different. But all of these other actions where you're kind of adding someone to your list against their will can result in your entire website being taken down and blacklisted for spam, not to mention really expensive fines that you'll have to pay, like thousands of dollars per person you emailed. So just avoid it. Like, oh my goodness, that would be terrible. But at this point, you might be like, yeah, I get that I need to stay top of mind, but isn't that what social media is for? Oh boy. Well, guys, we all know that as a business on social media, not only do you have to be posting prolifically, but your posts are still going to be downgraded by the algorithm because Instagram, for example, is a business too. Why on earth should they give you free publicity when they could have you boost a post or run an ad instead? Plus, links that you share on social media, those posts will be downgraded as well because Facebook, Instagram, and other similar platforms do not want their users to leave the app. They want a captive audience, and really, they've got one. So that begs the question, is email marketing still relevant? Does it still work? Well, here's the thing. Email marketing is 40 times more effective than social media. Now, that's something I covered in great detail with a lot of actual data in episode 224 of this podcast, but I am going to run over some of it for you right now in case you haven't heard that episode. So the big thing with email marketing is it's been around for decades. And when social media came along, that was the shiny new object that everyone wanted. Nobody really knew how to use, but email marketing has still been there steady in the background. So here is some information that should guide you on whether or not you decide to use email marketing for your business. First of all, email marketing has a huge return on investment. For every $1 spent, you make about $45, $32 to $45, which depends on the industry you're in. With the home industry, there is actually a really nice turnaround. So even if you were only making in the low 30s, it's still well worth it because the return on investment for social media is incredibly small by comparison. Email marketing is also the leading marketing channel for growth for 31% of B2B businesses and 19% of B2C companies, which basically just means B2B companies are using it more because they've already realized the value of it, but B2C businesses are behind the times because they're so focused on social media. And I'm not against social media, but I am against people thinking it's their golden ticket to success because it's just not. By and large, the people that you are looking to work with as a mid-range or high-end service provider in the home industry, those people are not all that active on social media. Now, are there caveats to that or exceptions to the rule? Of course, there's always going to be. But by and large, the people on social media, not only are they not located in the area that you're serving, but they don't have deep enough pockets to afford you. And they will follow the DIY design influencers and make their home look just like the influencer's home because it's more attainable for them. And there's nothing wrong with that. It just means that that's not your people. Unless, of course, you are selling retail products. That's different. Retail products do pretty well on social media. But if you're selling a high-end custom service, you should not expect to get clients from social. That would be unrealistic. All right. So a few more stats to go over. 79% of marketers rank email marketing in their top three channels for effectiveness. And over 80% of small to medium-sized businesses have reported that email is the main way they get customers. So if you have not been using email marketing, you should be. You're leaving a lot of business on the table if you don't. All right, so let's get back to my rules here. If you're going to do email marketing, look, what should you say? The biggest concern I hear when talking about email newsletters and their importance is that people have no clue how to write them. But I have a simple solution for that. Here it is. It's 5 steps. Number one, choose one subject per email. The subject should somehow correlate to one of your services. Don't overthink it, guys. Number two, write an introduction to that topic. Number three, expand on your subject. You could have 2 or 3 subtopics. Number four, follow that up with your bio and headshot because people need to see your face. And number five, finish the newsletter with a call to action, which is the most important part of a newsletter. And if you want, you can include a brief section of featured services so that readers get a quick snapshot of what you're offering without being distracted by too much information. Now, some best practices that you need to keep in mind include this. Aim for about 300 words per email. You could potentially go up to 500, but that gets a little bit wordy. So it depends on the topic, but try to make it not too long. Also, avoid adding links in your newsletter that take people away from your email. Yes, even links to your own blog posts. Unless, of course, the whole purpose of your newsletter is just to get people to read a blog post, but that isn't necessarily conducive to landing clients since it's actually sending people backwards in your sales funnel. Because remember, your sales funnel consists of people find you on Google, often because you're blogging or you have a Google business listing or both. Both is ideal. They end up at your website. They look at your content. They either contact you directly to become a client or they sign up for your lead magnet because they're interested but not ready. Once they sign up for your lead magnet, they are in your mailing list. So if you then send them a newsletter that sends them back to your website instead of encouraging them to book a call with you, you're doing yourself a disservice. And honestly, you're doing them a disservice too because they probably do need your help. They just have to be told what to do. Another thing to keep in mind is that you should avoid adding sections to your newsletter that are really not necessary, like our current favorites or what we've been up to lately or company news, as that is superfluous information and it will cause more distraction than anything else. Because the more you add to your newsletter, the less effective each newsletter will become. Keep your reader focused on one topic and one call to action. Now, another thing that people aren't sure about is, well, when is the best time of day or day of the week to send a newsletter? You should send a newsletter every 2 to 4 weeks, which is just 12 to 24 newsletters a year, guys. It's not even that bad. The best days and times to send will vary, though I've found that sending on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday in the early morning hours tends to get higher open rates. But then you might say, okay, I'm going to do this, or I have been doing this, and I don't have clients yet. Well, usually this is because you just need to remain consistent. Like, we have some clients who sign up with us. They send out one newsletter and they get a client from it or multiple clients from it. Other people will start doing email marketing with us and they will have to send 9 months worth of content before they get their first client. But when they get that client, it's a good client that, you know, the whole thing pays for itself. So really, it has a lot to do with the health of your mailing list, not the size of it, but the health of it. And also your own consistency. And then, of course, the value of the content you're putting out, which is something that we help people with. But for those of you who are putting out your own content, I want to remind you of the importance of the call to action. I mentioned it briefly earlier, but now here's like the nitty gritty and some words that you can use. There are like 3 different types of calls to action. There's a direct command, a specific question you want them to answer, or there's the urgency. The direct command would be something like a button that says, book a consult with me, and that links to your booking software. The specific question is to prompt more replies, and it could be something like, what's bothering you the most about your kitchen right now? Reply to let me know. Now, obviously, that question should be related to your topic. So if you weren't talking about kitchens, don't ask them about kitchens. That wouldn't make sense, but you guys get the idea. The last one is stating your availability with urgency and specificity. So that would sound something like, I have room for only one more closet organizing project this quarter. Reply now to claim it. I have used all of these calls to action in my newsletters, and they've all worked really well. And interestingly enough, the one that gets the most immediate response is when I state my availability with urgency and specificity. So if I say, like, I suddenly have a website slot become available, I got such and such month available. After that, I don't have anything available for several months. Then I'll have like five people jump on it and only one of them gets it because that's how we operate. We can't squeeze everybody in all at once. And they understand this. Like, there is a real urgency. And there might also be a real urgency for you. You could only do one more little project this quarter. That is the truth. You're not creating false urgency. And that's something that people fall into very easily, that false urgency. Like, you only have two more hours to sign up for this and then it's gone forever. And it's like, is it really though? It's not. It's truly not. So be careful about creating false urgency. Stay away from that. But if you have actual urgency, there is a limited time available for something, then state it, because that will spur your readers to action. All right, that was all law number one. Whew, that was a lot, right? Law number two, don't overthink your marketing topics. And that's a huge one. While you want to choose topics that pertain to your audience, don't let yourself get so stressed out about selecting the perfect topic, quote unquote, that you end up taking no action at all. And I see this time and time again with people when they first start working with us. They will drag their feet, they will sit on their hands, they will stand on their head, they will do everything possible to prevent getting a piece of marketing content into the world, whether it's a blog post or a newsletter, not because they're lazy, but because they're scared, because they overthink things. And I've been there. I have so much compassion for these situations. But if you take no action, then no marketing will get done and you will be stuck in the same spot you are currently in, which is wondering where your next client will come from. So instead, draw on inspiration from your signature services or questions you're asked frequently or little known facts about your industry. You could even do holiday or seasonal content occasionally. Consider things related to specific rooms of the home or how you work or share your process, dispel industry myths, and so on. You should seek to entertain or inspire or educate with each newsletter. And you don't have to worry, by the way, about your blog post and your newsletter being the same topic in a given month. They do not have to match. Some of my agency's newer clients will get stressed out because their newsletter and blog post don't match. And yet both of those topics were and still are relevant to their business. And this is okay, because the audience who sees your blog post, namely search engines, cold leads, people who find you through Google, that's not the same audience who will be reading your newsletter. The people who read your newsletter already know you to some degree, and that topic is going to be discussed differently. It's in a totally different format. Blog posts and newsletters are not interchangeable, so that's another thing to keep in mind. The topics do not have to match. All right, so that was a pretty quick law, but let's move on to number three, which is avoiding delays or pauses in marketing as much as possible. And this really piggybacks off of not overthinking it, because believe me, I have heard every excuse under the sun about why someone knows they should be marketing their business, but they're not. Their excuses sound something like, I have a really small audience, or I'm too busy, or I don't know what to say, or I don't want to end up in spam filters, or I'll just irritate people. But there's no validity in any of those excuses. If you have at least a dozen people that you can start emailing, for example, then you're ready to send that first newsletter. There's always going to be reasons to wait or ways that you could perfect things even more, but you cannot let that stop you from moving forward. Now, I also hear some more positive excuses from people, but these end up almost being more dangerous. So people will say, I have all the work I need right now. No worries. I don't have to do any marketing. Or I don't want to end up with too much work. Okay. Weird, but okay. The idea of having too much work is actually great, because then you can start picking and choosing what you want. Or another excuse is, my leads come from word of mouth and I don't need to take an active role in my marketing right now. That's so dangerous. All of these excuses show a lack of ownership. I've worked with many designers, like more so designers have this issue versus other industries within the home industry. I'm not sure why that is, but I've worked with a lot of designers who have run their businesses purely off word of mouth referrals for like a decade or more, which is quite amazing, I admit, only to wake up one day and realize they have no new leads coming in and no projects in the pipeline. At that point, they start scrambling for answers, and some of them end up working with my agency about that time. And by the time they reach us, they are scared because they've never not had clients before. And despite being in business for years, they have to start at ground zero with their marketing, which is really overwhelming for them. Their branding is usually kind of a wreck because they've never paid attention to it, and their website's typically really old and clunky. They've never had a need or seen a reason to update it. They also have no lead magnet, no sales funnel. They have underdeveloped brand messaging. And worst of all, throughout all their years in business, they never bothered to capture the email addresses of their clients and leads. This sounds discouraging, doesn't it? But none of this is an impossible situation to overcome. We actually work with a good subset of people who are in this situation, and we help them dig themselves out of this hole. But it does take time and quite a bit of investment to bring everything up to speed. And emotionally, it tends to be a roller coaster for the business owner because they now have too much time on their hands, whereas before they were actually working with clients. So all this new time gives them time to overthink every decision and overdo the tasks that should have been done quickly. And I get it, I've been there too, but the moral of this story is to always, always, always take control of your own marketing. You might have referrals flying in left and right now. Amazing. But don't build your house on a foundation that you do not own. Put all your business and client contacts in a mailing list and reach out to them monthly, if nothing else. If you do nothing else, this will at least help. Put a lead magnet on your website to entice more of the right qualified leads to jump into your sales funnel. This is what we help home industry pros do at my agency, and it's a lot more fun if the business owner we're working with is not in dire straits or paranoid about where the next client will come from. That said, if you're in dire straits and paranoid, we welcome you still. We just want you to know that it's going to be a bit of an uphill climb, but that's okay because the only way through it is through it. There is no getting around it. All right, so law number four is another hefty one, and it's about your website. Law number four states that your website must be set up to convert your ideal client. Do you know what the bane of my existence is as a marketer? Well, there are a few things, but in this case, it's the artsy-fartsy websites that do nothing but look pretty. They are not set up as sales pages. They don't contain enough copywriting to address the needs of the ideal client. They don't do anything to explain the brand. They just kind of show some pictures and that's it. Like, oh, that bothers me so much because it is such a disservice to you as the business owner. And it's a disservice to the people looking at your website who would actually need your help, but they'll never know that they should hire you because your website doesn't give enough information. So you'll want to make sure that your website homepage, especially, we're just going to focus on the homepage for this situation. Make sure your homepage meets the following criteria in order to convert well and attract your ideal client. So your website should have a full screen or widescreen design with plenty of white space. Thankfully, I don't see this too often anymore where people have these narrow, tiny little websites from the 90s. But if you have one, now's this your time. This is your sign. Get rid of it and get a new one. You should also have a site-wide banner at the very top, like an announcement bar. So it's a thin, wide, like thin as in it's not taking up too much space on your screen, wide as in it goes edge to edge on your screen. That should be clickable. It should have text in it. It should be an announcement bar. And that's a great place to showcase your lead magnet. So you could say, click here to discover how or what it's like to work with an interior designer or something. It depends on what your lead magnet is. Or you could even put your style quiz there if you use that. You should also have a well-designed brand. So logo, established color palette, established font palette. And you should make sure that your brand is consistent on your website, that you're not constantly switching up new fonts or adding random new colors. You should also have straightforward, easy to understand navigation without flowery language. So on a lot of home pro sites that need to be updated, I will see that they call their blog a journal, or they call their blog design notes, or they call their blog, Christina's thoughts, if her name is Christina. And it's like, that is very vague. Don't do that. Just call it a blog. Everybody knows what that means. So you'll want to make sure that your navigation is tidy. You only want 6 or 7 options in your main menu. If you have more pages than that, put them in a drop-down menu. You should not be cluttering up your main navigation. And like I said, every word should be clear. Home, about, portfolio, services, blog, contact us. Just get to the point. Also, you'll need to make sure that you have a beautiful image or multiple, ideally, on your homepage that represent your work. Maybe you don't have professional photos of your work yet. That's okay. Get some stock photos that represent your work. You might have to pay for them through Unsplash. They have premium photos now. You can also get them from Shutterstock. You can use free options as well, but just make sure that they are representative of the type of work that you could do or are doing but haven't photographed yet. And then make interior photography of your next project the main focus. Whether you are an organizer or a stager or a designer or a window treatment person, the two categories of people who tend to lack photos are window treatment people, because they're usually not in control of the full project, the interior designer is, and then organizers. Now, with organizers, you guys have this sticky situation because people don't necessarily want you to take pictures of their mess if you're doing before and after. If you can't get a before picture, that's okay. We all know what a mess looks like. What we really want to see is the eye candy. Like, how does this pantry look now? Is it gorgeous? Is it beautiful? Thanks to the home edit, we all have this glamorized view of what organizing looks like. But then the other situation you have as an organizer is that sometimes an organized space isn't really eye candy. It looks nice, it functions well, but it's not going to be like, you know, the home edit where everything is color-coded according to the freaking rainbow. And that's okay. That's the practicality of the situation. I think the home edit is really cool, but I also think they've done to the organizing industry what HGTV has done to the staging and design industry. So they've definitely brought more awareness to it, and that's great, but they've also created some false expectations. And that's just part of the industry, something to work through. All right, so that aside, having good photos is great. You also need to make sure that the first thing you say on your website is your ideal client's pain points. So you need to state who you serve, where you serve them, and then a paragraph that dives into how much you understand what your client's going through. And after that, you can talk about yourself. A lot of people make the mistake of talking about themselves first and foremost, or only talking about themselves and ignoring the client entirely. This is not indicative of selfishness or narcissism on their part, but it is just because people don't realize their website's not actually about them. It is about how they're serving the client. It's about the client. On your homepage, you should also include at least one client testimonial, but 3 of them or 6 of them, that'd be fine too. You should list a summary of your services so people don't have to hunt around for them. And you should also have a clear call to action at the end of your homepage that tells people what to do next. Otherwise, they might just leave your site. So at the end of your homepage, you could say, click here to view our portfolio or view our recent projects or check out our services, wherever you want them to go next. Also, you should connect Google Analytics and Google Search Console to your site. You should also be using Google Business. If you don't have a Google Business listing yet, you need to get one. I recently heard that Google Business has an alternative solution for people who do not have physical business locations but work out of their home. So if you were previously unable to verify your Google Business listing because you work from home, you should go try again, because it sounds like there is a solution for you. I mean, work at home culture has just exploded since 2020. So it makes sense that they would offer a solution. Now, you might be like, I don't know how to use Google Analytics or Google Search Console, so why on earth would I set them up? Well, guys, listen, even if you don't know how to use those Google tools or interpret the data, the chances are high that you're eventually going to hire a professional who does understand how to use those tools, and they will need that information in order to help you make good decisions around the marketing strategy of your business. The sooner you set up these tools so that they can begin collecting data, the better it will be for you in the future. Now, there are some things to avoid when it comes to your website. You should avoid using a different page to keyword target every geographic location that you serve. I don't see this happen too much anymore, but it still comes up occasionally. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so archaic. This is a very old tactic. Do not let SEO companies convince you that you need to pay them to create additional pages on your site for every geographic location you serve. That is not necessary. Your Google business listing should include all the places that you serve, and you should also include in your footer all the different cities, states, provinces that you serve. That's completely fine. You don't need a separate page for all of that. You should also avoid using Google Ads unless you have a sales funnel in place. Your Google Ad should be promoting your lead magnet, not a service offering. It should take people to your website where they sign up for that free lead magnet, whatever it is, and then they should be put into your email marketing because that is where they will be nurtured and be able to convert into a paying client. Also, as a quick reminder, you should avoid having your website visitors click too many times or visit multiple pages just to learn about your services, process, or pricing. I've seen on a handful of occasions, especially just in 2024, how some people will set up their website so that you have to go on one page to view service packages, then you have to go to another page to view pricing, and you have to go to another page to view process, and it's like, that's too much clicking. The more you require people to click, the less likely they are to click, and they will just leave. Lastly, when it comes to your website, avoid using confusing layouts with too little text or too much text. There is such a thing as too much text on your website, especially when you're not using enough headings or the headings don't contain the right keywords, because people and search engines will look at the headings first. You have to make sure you're using the right headings. All right, so with all of this in mind, the four laws of marketing that you should be following. You might be like, okay, this is a lot, but it's actually not a lot, because I could also tell you you're supposed to be on LinkedIn, you should be on Instagram, you should be making videos constantly, you should be doing all these things, but you actually do not need to do all these things. If the laws of marketing can be boiled down to just four principles, then your life suddenly got easier. Now, if the idea of following these four principles, of staying top of mind with your leads, with a sales funnel, improving your website, if that feels like too much, this is also like why my company exists. So a shameless plug, we help with brand messaging, website design, sales funnels, blogging, email marketing, with one big caveat. We make each of these as simple as possible. Now, I was on the phone with a client yesterday, and she gave me a wonderful compliment. She was like, you know, out of all the marketers that I have spoken to over the past 5 years, you are the only one who actually got my vision and was able to regurgitate it back to me. Like, I feel understood. And isn't it nice to feel understood by the person who's trying to help grow your business? And isn't it frustrating and kind of scary to know that you're paying someone to help grow your business, but they don't actually understand what you're doing? Like, that would stress me out immensely. So that is why we work only with the home industry. You guys have a complex situation on your hands, but it could be greatly simplified. So stop complicating your marketing in your head. Let's sort it out together. All right, guys, until next time, keep your marketing simple, your message clear, and I will talk to you soon.